First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Take it each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you could never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
What up, doe?
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman and John Cena Evil.
I somehow got transported here. I went through a portal, a poison round a portal, and here I am in Toronto at the BDE Tower. Hello, everybody.
Live.
Poison post portal.
The BDE Evil.
Yes.
In the house here tonight on Post Wrestling. You found us on whatever podcast app. And of course,
YouTube.com/Post Wrestling. Hello, YouTube room. Happy Money in the Bank weekend to you all. I hope you had a lovely time.
And tonight there was a heat wave.
Oh boy, there
in
is.
Toronto.
If there's any background noise here, it's because we've got all the fans going, all the AC pumping. There is a heat wave in Toronto.
Legit.
And we just left one at the Scotiabank Arena to walk right into another at the BDE.
It's a shoot, brother. It's legit hot this weekend. It was a perfect weekend for Toronto to have some WWE takeover. And we're going to talk all about some NXT heat wave. If you're not familiar with us, welcome to Up Next. We are your NXT post shows every Tuesday and every time they do one of these PLEs. And it's always nice when they're on a Sunday, the Frog's Day, the nice day to relax and watch some graps.
We're in the minority, but we love Sunday pay-per-views. Yeah. Way so better for me.
I mean, it's not like we just spent 3 days in a row of
that
wrestling.
Is true.
So, I mean, yeah, but Sundays are a great day for that. So, yeah, we're going to talk about some NXT Heat Wave, which was a great show. We're going to get into that and maybe chat a little bit about our weekend here.
But absolutely.
Search us in your socials at Poison Rana Pod, Instagram, Twitter. Give us a little follow there and check out all the stuff, all the shenanigans we've been getting up to, including, got to start the show by giving a big shout out to anyone who showed up this weekend at the Cash-In at Wide Open in Toronto, and to those who were there in spirit as well, thank you. We had a great time hanging out with a lot of our listeners, meeting old listeners from way back to new listeners to all sorts, and to people who made some cameo appearances. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. We, to use a wrestling term, we called an audible, and we changed what the Cash-In was going to be, and I think it worked out for the better. I know we had John Way, Benno, Steph, and Brandon Thurston kicking things off earlier in the day at 1 p.m. With a very intimate, I think the first time ever a podcast has been recorded at Wide Open Bar.
Yes, this dive bar.
Making history, but that went well. We had the England game on, so I was very happy as well. And then you all just kept filtering in throughout the night, throughout the day, and we had such a great time. The cocktails were a hit, karaoke was a hit. Everyone had fun. The bartender enjoyed themselves. We enjoyed themselves.
I enjoyed
myself a bit too much.
Iris. The superstar bartender of the weekend. She just really made everyone's day, and we had great job. Davey's wrestling-themed cocktails were a hit. Did you try the Blue Thunder Bomb?
Blue Thunder Bomb was a good drink. The Poison Rana, like the staple drink, obviously named after the show. That was probably the number one selling thing I kept seeing, though. But the Espresso Solo Sokoa martinis were...
I needed quite a lot of them
to
get through the weekend. I think they finally kicked in now because I feel alive, perky, and awake.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. It really helped to get you into the mood for wrestling and balance the alcohol also and everything else that came with it. But yeah, shout out everyone who was there. It was really special to hang out with everybody. We had W.H. Park, Damian Abraham, Dan the Mouth Lavransky.
Oh, yeah. Bro, this legend.
It was popping off and worlds were colliding. So again, the love is real and we are very proud of the post wrestling community and the Poison Rana peeps and the pals and everything out there. So this was not the last. We'll be definitely doing some more as soon as they announce that damn Royal Rumble 2026. Cena, why didn't you announce that instead of retiring? Yeah. We'll get into that.
Maddie B was there. Hanzi, shout out to everybody who showed up. New faces. A lot of people found out about it through like other events that were happening in Toronto. It was like, hey, there's a wrestling thing happening. If you're first time listening, welcome. This is Poison Rana, Post Wrestling. So welcome. And yeah, it's really cool to just kind of be around all these people, like people that you've seen before, people you haven't seen before. It's always nice when you're in the midst of other wrestling fans.
I mean, wrestling is a silly thing that just brings a lot of people together.
Absolutely.
As doing podcasts like this proves. So yeah, that was very fun, very special. But maybe before NXT, quickly, you guys kicked things off by going to SmackDown on Friday. How was that?
Yeah, we managed to score some great seats thanks to a personal friend of mine who, yeah, got us sorted. We were second row for SmackDown and Money in the Bank, which was great fun. Got to see DIY, who, if you've been following this podcast throughout the years, we've been following their career very closely. Johnny Gargano actually made a cameo at our first event we did at Wide Open. So it all came back around as DIY won the tag titles in the main event. And the whole show pretty much seemed focused towards that tag match. But you know what? I thought it was a nice kind of way to kick off the weekend. We realized how hot this crowd were going to be just from SmackDown. Like, they were loud, especially last night at Money in the Bank. But yeah, I had a pretty fun time at SmackDown.
Me as well. I enjoy these SmackDowns that happen before the PLEs, because then the PLEs are only five matches, so a lot of people are obviously not going to be on the show. So the SmackDown is a good excuse to see like a Jade, a Bianca Belair, a DIY. So it's a good opportunity to see people and kind of get like a gist of how the crowd's going to be. And I already knew the crowd was hot that night. I'm like, okay, Money in the Bank is going to be wild. Heatwave is going to be wild. But yeah, it was really cool. And obviously the amazing seats there that we had there. So thank you. And yeah, it was a great event.
I think especially if you're sticking to these kind of five match cards, I don't have a problem with moving one of the matches, especially if you're going to do something big like a title change, having it on SmackDown on TV.
So yeah, you guys had fun at SmackDown. I know there was like other wrestling events in the city. I know people had fun at the Sami Zayn comedy show. Yep. There was GCW in town. So there's wrestling fans all over the place. They turned right near here, our apartment, the BDE. We're near the Rec Room in the CN Tower and Scotiabank. That's why we got here so quickly. Fastest getting home from a wrestling event ever.
Oh, yeah. So cool.
I got home in 7 minutes from walking out the venue right into my house. It's crazy. But they turned the Rec Room into like a little version of the WWE Superstore we kind of see when they travel. So even that is like awesome. So people buying briefcase lunchboxes, one of the smartest. And the raccoon.
The raccoon thing. Holding the money in the bank. Yeah, they have a lot of Toronto-inspired stuff.
I didn't see a cup, though. So
no cups.
They didn't get my money this time around.
I'm thinking of buying that Drew McIntyre Money in the Bank winner.
That's the first thing I saw when I went in today was the Drew McIntyre winner of the 2024 Very Money in the funny. Bank. And it's like CM Punk has to wear that shirt now. Yeah, like he has to wear it. And it's going to sell like crazy once he does wear it. It's the funny part.
It'll be iconic and ironic at the same time. I don't want that Cena shirt that has a door on it for some reason. It's kind of an odd t-shirt.
Is he calling himself a forbidden door? Or is like...
It's just a strange...
Closing the door.
Closing the door on his career, I guess. Yeah, it's a little weird.
But yeah, so that the whole city has been coming alive. But then, Saturday... We had our cash-in event. We went to the bar. I know Way is going to upload that panel show that they did like eventually. So look for that going forward with Steph, Benno, and Thurston with Pollock and Way. But then we got to meet listeners. We hung out and drank and everything. And then we all made our way, moseyed on over to the Scotiabank. The bank, again, they call it the Scotiabank, but people call it the bank. So it was funny that Money in the Bank was actually happening in the bank for those keeping score. So then we all went to that show, and I thought it was pretty fun. What did you think? So, you know, like, what were some highlights?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, again, we had great seats like we had on SmackDown, so it obviously made it a great event to be there live for. But, like, just to see Money in the Bank. I've never been to Money in the Bank. It's my first time seeing Money in the Bank. So to see, like, the spectacle of it and the ladders and everything, and, like, that Chelsea Green spot, like, the way we're situated, we just see her fall off the ladder and into the abyss, and God knows where she went.
We didn't even see the tables.
No.
So we were just,
did she die? But, yeah, the show was overall really good. I don't like. I've heard like complaints about people saying it was like too long. There was too many things in between. But like, when you're there live, you don't really realize it because you're getting up, you're talking to people, you're chit chatting. Next, you know, the next match starts. So being there live, I think, is obviously a better experience. But I can understand like the low in between matches being like a complaint.
No, okay. So we go to a lot of shows and we're spoiled, but we go to AEW shows and it's basically like 15 matches of nonstop. So you have to pick your spots of when can I get food, go pee, vape in the washroom, whatever it is you're doing. Well, you have to pick your spots, and it feels they're putting too much on one show. Where WWE, you're like, hey, can we just get to the next? There needs to be a balance. There needs to be a balance, because WWE, it's like, hey, here's all these, like, here's 5 minutes of commercials in between, and it feels like it when you watch it, like on the ads and Peacock and stuff. So there does need, I get it, they need to make their money and pay their bills, but like there needs to be a balance between the two.
I do prefer this structure though. You know, your big shows, your WrestleManias, your SummerSlams, that's where you load your cards a bit more. You have your 10 match card or whatever. And more the B shows, keep it short, keep it five matches. That way you're not burning through matches. For the longest time in the last like decade plus in WWE, what was it? It was 50-50 booking. It was rematch upon rematch upon rematch. And I think doing it this way, you keep some of those matches special. It makes the your big four pay-per-views feel that much bigger. But yeah, could certainly trim down the commercials and stuff, but you know, they're in the money-making business, and that's just unfortunately the way it's going to be.
Of course. What were some highlights for Money in the Bank for you?
You know, I was surprised with Braun and Sammy. It was one I was really looking forward to, but was expecting, you know, a bit of a squash.
Yeah.
They didn't do that way, and they actually had Sammy win. But I think maybe this was one of those matches, similar to the one with Ilya, where people can see that there's a bit more to Bron Breakker than just, you know, spear, jackhammer, 1, 2, 3. And the Goldberg comparison is always going to be there. But he's better. He's better in ring. And the fact that he can hang and go, what was it, 15 minutes, 20 minutes with Sami Zayn. Yeah, he lost. I think he'll be able to rehab pretty easily.
Yeah.
But definitely that match was a highlight for me.
I enjoyed that match. I love Bron Breakker. I think I was shocked that he didn't win and just destroy Sami. I mean, they did Survivor Series where Goldberg shocked the world and beat Brock in like a minute something. I thought maybe we were going to get something like that, but instead we got an okay match. I think if they did the route they did, I was expecting it to go another gear, and then he just pinned him. So I was like, it was still good, but I think Braun is going to be like a big star going forward, and I don't think it'll necessarily hurt him. But you mentioned the Chelsea Green spot. That was crazy. The Io Sky, you know, I love Io Sky. She gets me high, but she hit like a pile driver thing off the top onto another ladder. That was just like insane. I thought that was crazy.
Yeah, I think I actually enjoyed the women's ladder over the men's ladder match. Both were pretty strong, but I think the women's had a few more memorable spots. And by now, I'm pretty jaded when it comes to ladder matches. There are a lot of them. We had one on the show last week on Forbidden Door. But I found this one, you know, had more stuff I remembered, and I thought it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Overall, I mean, the women's match was my favorite match of the show for sure. Like, it obviously had its, like, blemishes and whatnot, but it made it, like, fun in the way, like, ladder matches should be chaotic and kind of, like, filled with botches, as they say, because there's a lot of shit happening, a lot of things happening. But, like, that was my favorite match. But as far as, like, moments go, like, the CM Punk thing, like, we kind of expected something to happen. Yeah. You know, people, maybe it's going to be AJ Lee, maybe it's going to be Larry making a run in. But it was CM Punk, and it was cool to have him come out there and do the whole brawl thing, see that live. And kind of like when you're there live, you can see different things that the camera's not going to catch. So, like, who knows if they caught Seth Rollins, like, the way he was yelling at CM Punk and whatnot. Was pretty cool to see. And obviously the Cena thing, like, we heard rumblings of him maybe being in town, but like once I saw this beautiful young lady sit in front of me with a John Cena shirt by herself, and I'm like, she looks kind of familiar. What does John Cena's wife look like? And lo and behold, it's her. And by the time I even like was able to turn around and tell Davey, John Cena's music hits, and now he comes. And so that was like unexpected. Like, as you said, we thought he's maybe gonna announce like a new, you know, Toronto paper PLE, but no, it's his retirement tour, which is kind of came in a left field. I didn't expect that to happen, especially being announced like that.
A few people at our event, some people were saying that, believe it or not, they were seeing John Cena walking around. People were like, oh, maybe he's here and stuff. So that was pretty cool for him to announce the retirement. It hit me being like, wow, I'm old now because he's retiring. But
and, you know, I mean, we traveled out there for Sting's retirement match in the year in North Carolina. And, you know, that the success of Revolution was absolutely down to that.
Yeah.
But I definitely think there was a mistake in AEW not promoting those Sting's Last Dynamite in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Sting's
Last Dynamite. And you know W was going to do that for every single show.
You know they won't miss out on this with Cena. And, you know, he said not retiring at WrestleMania. He's going to do a full year, a full retirement tour. And you just know, like, if their business is doing well already, like announcing that the last time you'll see Cena at a Rumble, the last time at the Chamber, the last time at Mania, these shows are going to sell ridiculously
so he's
well.
Going to retire.
Yeah, he's done. And I think the last show should be like dedicated to him. Call it like WWE, The Time Is Now, or whatever you want to call it.
That's what they're calling it. The Last Time Is Now.
And have people on the card. Like, don't make it like a legend act, but have people that maybe have history with him, have matches and whatnot. But like, what's the final match that Cena has? I mean, you have what's his final Mania match, and then what's his final match? Those are like the two top questions.
I guess he said he's not ending in Mania, so maybe they do like a Boston show where it's like the last.
That makes sense. Like,
I imagine
Punk's called his shot already.
Punk, Randy, Edge, jump over there, get one more in. There's a few guys that come to mind.
Do you
put the strap on him one more time, beat Rick?
It's you could. It would be kind of cool to have the last match be Randy, I think.
Yeah.
As much as there was a day we'd be like, fuck, we're going to this match again. Randy's on what, 16?
Yeah.
Like, could you do Randy gets, you know, two more championship
I thought
wins.
He was 15.
Is he 15?
I think he's 15.
Yeah.
If he can tie it up and be 16, you can have Cena's final match. Does he break the record? Does 14. Randy break the record? Have Ric Flair out there.
Probably because I'm just thinking of Cena and Umaga, but I would love to see Cena and Jacob Fatu. Like, that match has to happen. That should be one of the matches that before Cena's done for. Like, kind of have him run through the bloodline. I think Solo, we could have another match with him. But I think Jacob Fatu and John Cena, that's a match that I definitely would want.
I think you've got to save his loss to his last match.
Oh, of course.
He mentioned him in the press conference. He's lost a lot in the last few years. And I think now it's like, he should be on that run. Do the Ric Flair story. The next match I lose is my last match. Something like that. And
end of an era. Appreciate the courage, John Cena, for retiring. Appreciate the courage.
You got to do Cody. I mean, Cena and Cody, like, they've wrestled, but, like, they never had, like, a spotlight.
Not
Cody's
been the guy.
That's a big one.
So that's going to be the best problem. It might be one of the final matches.
Like, that's the biggest Americana match they could put off. Two, the biggest guys. But it's definitely interesting. It's interesting that it's like Vince has been gone for, like, a year, and he's like, you know what? Calling it quits. Now's the time. I liked his cameo in the new season of The Bear, though. He's pretty funny.
Oh, nice. I'm not caught up yet.
You think he's doing okay with his acting career. But that was a big shocking moment at Money in the Bank, seeing Cena there. And I've definitely seen him in that venue many, many times. So that was pretty cool. I'm trying to think of what else happened on the show.
Yeah, the World Championship match, we kind of glossed over a little bit.
Yeah.
Priest and Seth, there was that unfortunate no kick out from Priest.
Yeah,
I don't know if he was a little rocked or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're building this Punk Drew story so well. Having Drew like cash in like Seth did to make it a triple threat. And And it's like against those two guys, neither could really be mad because both of them have cashed in.
Right.
But yeah, Punk costing him. I think that story, that feud is being built up so well. And even though we haven't had Punk wrestle since January, you know, your local crowds are still getting to see him at these things by doing it like Clash at the Castle appearance, this appearance. So you're not feeling completely cheated. And I think the story is just getting better and better.
Yeah, the story is really great. And it's evolving, like you said, with the Seth Rollins thing. And it's like, how's Seth going to be mad? He did the same exact thing. So it's like, can't be too upset about
that. But they're
what
keeping
happened.
That feud like on the side.
That's very smart.
That's, you know, going. I imagine the Bad Blood announcement, like, in Atlanta in October, I imagine, you know, knock on wood, oops, almost spilling my water, knock on wood that CM Punk doesn't get injured in his first match back again. But I imagine Drew Punk Hell in a Cell at that Bad Blood. Probably.
Yeah, you can do Hell in a Cell. You can do a first blood match. I mean, you don't have to, like, do Hell in a Cell now because it's not named that. You can do whatever you want. But, yeah, any of those matches sound good.
Metro Boomin and Cody. They're gonna do a Cody cuts a promo from Magic City on a Monday on Raw. That would be fantastic.
I can see that happen.
So that was pretty cool. The Punk stuff definitely is interesting. And the crowd were really happy to see him, right? Like, first WWE appearance here. I mean, he was here last year for Forbidden Door in the same arena, but it's still different for a lot of these people. To see Cena on a show, Punk on a show, the crowd at least got
Trish Stratus was there hosting.
Stratus,
that was great.
Yeah, it was really cool. So, like, for me, WWE is like, since Mania, I've felt the fatigue, but things are moving in the right direction. I wouldn't say this Money in the Bank show, like, blew me away or anything. In fact, we'll get into Heatwave in a few moments, and I think Heatwave cooked. I think Shawn Michaels said, Triple H, watch this, and showed him up a little bit. It's like the old days when the takeovers used to be better than the actual main roster product. So
I will say, I think the placement was weird with the main event being the Bloodline match.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd have ended with the whole, end with your world championship, you're ending with a cash-in, and you're ending with Punk screwing over Drew again. I just think having that match at the end, and you had a few surprises in the night with Cena and stuff, it left you to think Roman was coming back. And you definitely felt like as the match ended, and then they're positioning themselves, oh, is Randy going to RKO Cody and start that feud? But they didn't do that. So I felt everyone there was kind of waiting for Triple H's graphic in the corner trick, and it didn't happen. And therefore, I'd have maybe, you know, even opened the show with that match and finished with the world title. Because I felt I really enjoyed the show, but I just felt an air of disappointment right at the end, which is a shame because I thought overall it was a really enjoyable show to go to.
Yeah, the thing with Tongaloa was the one who was like ringside. He wasn't in the match.
Yes.
So the spot where he eats this tope from Cody, like clearly he looked like he got some, like a stinger or a concussion, something. He looked like he bonked his head and was like
shot to the back of the head.
And then he's supposed to do a spot where he low blows Kevin Owens, but he blows that one by like having to do it twice. But if you watch the second time, fucking punches Tama Tonga right in the face. He hits his own boy right in the head.
I mean, we've all been punched by our brothers in the face, I feel like, at one point or another. So
he's two birds with one stone by nailing Owens in the bag and then just hitting him. I've watched this in slow motion at like
different angles.
Yeah, And it's like you feel at first it was pretty funny, like, ooh, he messed that up. And then you see the wait, he got like hurt from that. So maybe that's what caused that. So we feel for you, bro. But that, I'm not gonna lie, it was still pretty funny to see him punch Kevin Owens in the dick while simultaneously hitting Tama Tonga. So that was definitely.
But he punched Kevin Owens in the ass.
Yeah, it was the Samoan Spike in the butthole. Love it. Love it. So that was great.
Oh, Tonga Loa.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Never forget Camacho.
Camacho, yeah. So, that was Money in the Bank. We had some fun. And then today, I was feeling a little rough. You tapped out after the show.
I needed to.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were trying to get, I ended up being like, Brayden, stop it. I am not moving.
What did I do? Did I rally?
You're like, let's go. I'm like, I'm not moving.
No, I felt like, I was like, yeah, no worries. It's fine. We didn't.
I was grateful. I got to get one of the Money in the Bank chairs. So
nice.
I was absolutely exhausted after the show and I'm waiting outside the arena and then I'm like, oh yeah, I've got a chair. So I just perched
you're
up.
Sitting on it, right?
Had a little nap. Yeah, it's not bad.
It's Yeet in the Bank.
Yeet in the Bank.
And then you have one.
Yep. Same chair, Jey Uso. You're sitting on Jey Uso's face right now. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It's always good to, you know, get a little souvenir.
Excellent.
Take back with you.
I've never gotten one myself from these events, but I've been front row when it was like Raw or SmackDown, you don't get the chair. I'm like, oh, I don't want that.
Just can I take this one? This regular black chair?
Yeah. But I feel like there's, because you said people are trying to offer you money for it and everything. And WrestleMania, I saw like these dudes turned into wolves stealing all the chairs and everything, right? Like they're worth money and stuff. So,
oh yeah, security was on, like they were making sure everybody only had one chair per person. They were like, they were being really on top of it.
Yeah, because at WrestleMania, it was like war zone afterwards, people stealing them and stuff. But yeah, so we had fun. I was pretty hungover. It took me a few hours to like get out of bed and move. And finally, we recorded a Behind the BDE today, the three of us. So that's for World Champs, where we discuss everything and your trip to Toronto, visiting us, hanging out with us and stuff. So that was cool. And then finally, we came to life. We had some wings.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, very
and,
good.
And we're back to it. And then we went to some NXT. So we sat separately. And I got tickets through my buddy Shane. He got it through like a gym he works for, trains at. And they gave him these tickets. But when we got there, they were like, oh, your friend's in a wheelchair? Here, we're just going to give you this whole box to yourself. So we're like, oh, nice. Okay. So we're hanging out. And then we noticed like through the show, some of the wrestlers would be walking by. I'm like, oh, Carmen Petrovic just walked by. I'm like, we love you. You did such a good job. And like, I felt I was dancing in my own suite. I was like moving around.
Nice.
But then right before the main event, when I went to pay for like my one beer I had, I lost my wallet and I got so nervous. And like the main event's just about to start. I'm like, oh my God, did I leave it at the bar we were at? Like, oh. Then I found it. And I was like, oh God, my heart's stopped.
I was expecting like, and there's Ariana Grace with my wallet. And so now I'm like,
right, I found it right as the main event like just kicked off, and my attitude went back to being normal. That's good. So that's good why I made a good figure.
We did all right as well. We bought the cheap seats that didn't exist, so got upgraded.
Hell yeah!
This was in the hundreds. So yeah,
it's literally 2 weeks in a row happened at MSG. It's like you buy the seats that like don't look like they're real seats, and then when you get there, it's like, oh, that's closed off. We're gonna upgrade you, and that's exactly what happened to us. So, well, you know, pretty lucky these past 3 days. I feel like. Our seats.
We're giving away our secrets though, because other people do this now.
Yeah.
Well, shall we get into it?
Yes. We're gonna run into NXT Heatwave. We're gonna run it down. I mean, we go live every Tuesday here on Post Wrestling, and you want to hear more of us Sundays on Poison Rana. Search Poison Rana in your podcast app as well. Hit that subscribe, and for more, Patreon.com/PoisonRana. We're putting up our last Nitro review with Jesse from the Six up this week, and it's Shark Week, so we'll be celebrating too. So $5 to become a friend, and that's how you can support your boys.
Do we announce the winner of our Shark Poll?
Yeah, you said you would.
Yeah. We will be reviewing Sharktopus, starring Eric Roberts. What happens when
starring
a shark,
Eric.
Half shark, half,
starring.
Half Octopus attacks Eric Roberts.
It beat all the other movies. You all voted in our tadpole.
Find out this week.
Yeah.
I consider myself a horror movie freak, and I've seen pretty much every movie. I've never even heard of this movie, but I'm going to have to watch it now.
It's going
to
be great.
And then one last plug. We love our friends over, meaning Vicky Bird, at chop-tees.com, because if you're watching us on the YouTube, you'll see that we're rocking some very nice merch. We got Poison Rana hats, t-shirts, hoodies, but more importantly, these Poison Rana button-up shirts that have matching shorts.
They do.
Now, shout out to anyone who's bought some of our stuff online and sending in the pictures. I fucking love it. But shout out to everyone who's been rocking it and people wearing the merch to the events this week and all around, from all around the world. So it's just awesome to see. And that's how you can support us. We got Poison Rana stuff. We got What Up Doe, Shot in the Dark stuff, and it all goes to us, the your favorite small-time content creator. So that's a great way to support us.
And it's the best time to support us because there is a summer super sale going on. So just head over to chop-tees.com/poisonrana.
And I think you only have a couple hours, I'm pretty sure.
Off.
Oh, yeah.
So it ends very soon. Yep. So get on it and get your gear ready for SummerSlam.
Yes. But let's chat about some NXT.
Let's do it. NXT Heatwave from July 7th, 2024, live at the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And we have the kickoff show. The two Torontonians, Ariana Grace and Carmen Petrovic, teaming up to take on the team of JC Jane and Jasmine Nix. I appreciated the Petrovic We the North gear
the Raptors gear. Also, earlier in the day, she posted a picture wearing like Team Canada hockey jersey as well. She knows her stuff. Mm. She's deep in it. Yeah, good stuff.
Ariana all in red as well. JC and Jasmine get the beatdown on Carmen for quite a while, building up to the hot tag to Ariana, who got a great pop, I thought, coming out. She does this kind of funny sort of almost like a double axe handle, but just a second rope elbow drop to the back. It looks kind of weird, but it's kind of deliberate and suits her character quite well. She delivers a code breaker, and then Jasmine and Carmen are rolling back and forth with roll-ups, and Ariana tips them over, allowing Carmen to pin Jasmine Nix. And on their first match, the Canadians win at Heatwave.
Yeah, it's a great way to start the show. Obviously, get the crowd invested in the hometown heroes here. And I'm like, wow, this could be the start of a beautiful tag team. Later on in the night, we'll find out, unfortunately, that might be the only match we've seen them team up in. But a great way to start the show. And like I said, a great reaction. Their family was in the front row as well. I'm sure Mr. Morella might have been hanging around as well somewhere there. So, yeah, it was a great way to start the show. And I enjoyed them as a tag team. And we'll see what happens now.
Yeah, a cool moment for both of them, right? Like, we've been watching them a little while on NXT. They've only been on TV for a year, if that, for maybe Ariana a bit longer, but they've never done a PLE and in Toronto with a pretty big crowd. So I'm sure it was a very special moment for both of them. And the match was fine, but it was more about like letting them get the crowd a little heated up for what was to come.
It is something you forget out of a lot of these shows, obviously Javon being in the main event, but this is the first time a lot of these people have ever performed outside the PC.
Yep.
Even
imagine you perform every week in front of like a gym with your peers, but then like Tuesdays, like, yeah, like 100 to 200 people. And then all of a sudden there's like 10,000 people, if you know, sort of. So it's pretty wild. So good for them.
Yeah. I thought it was a pretty fun match. I got a bit confused at times because Nix and Ariana were wearing very similar gear.
Yeah.
So maybe, especially when you're there watching in person, try and communicate to each other and maybe let the Canadians wear the red and white.
Yeah, and it's gonna help that like Ariana like straighten her hair. You just have curly hair. So I'm like, oh wait, is that her or not? Like
and I liked Ariana playing off like the shock at the end of the match. The show opens and we get this kind of WWE Network / Peacock style screen selection video, and was kind of going through each match, highlighting it. A bit of a change because they've been doing normally these NXT openers like some of the characters not on the show kind of previewing it.
But right, because it's the first Heatwave that's an actual PLE. Usually it's on the Tuesdays, so it's actually the first time they've actually gone on the network for us. A little bit different. But I did enjoy the little like network-style intro and whatnot. It was pretty fun.
It was a very different Heatwave from Heatwave 99. Yeah. It's still a good show.
We open with the North American Championship, Oba Femi taking on Wes Lee. This is Wesley's last shot at Oba's North American title. If he loses, he can never challenge for it again as long as Oba Femi is champion. It's a lot of duck and moving strikes from Wes to start. And Wes gets hit with this big punch. He goes for a springboard and almost slips, but recovers quite nicely. Oba comes back with some this crazy, I guess an F10, an F20. This was wild. Wes is obviously great at selling and doing the flipping inside out sells, but Oba sent this guy like 3-4 rotations in the air.
I think Oba Femi sent Wesley into outer space.
It was insane.
This was jaw dropping. Like, this was crazier. I'm trying to think, like, some of the guys in AEW do the F. Who does it? Someone similar.
Wardlow.
This one looked crazier than anyone he'd ever hit. Like, Wes looked like that boy was flying.
And this then really got the crowd into this match. Split crowd chanting, "Let's go, Oba. Let's go, Wes." Oba then starts to target the surgically repaired back of Wesley. He's standing on it. At one point, he delivers a clothesline to the head of Wes. Just starts Irish whipping him back first into the turnbuckle. Just Wes's back is looking fucked. Wes starts to come back, counters one of Oba's huge powerbombs into a Rana, and goes for a tope meteora he hits to the back of the head. Looked pretty nice. And then we saw this at Stand and Deliver. Oba gets Wes on his shoulders in a fireman's carry, starts climbing to the top. Wes is fighting back, and Oba then goes for the powerbomb. Not quite sure, like, what was meant to happen here. They kind of both fell and took the worst of it.
It was like an X Factor.
Yeah, okay.
A face jam.
Yeah. So Oba got the worst of this here, allowing Wes to hit the cardiac kick, but a kick out. Goes for another cardiac kick, and it didn't quite work. It looked like they were planning a sort of counter. They went to it right again, and this time got countered into the top toss power bomb, and then the sit out, like last ride pop out power bomb for the win. Oba Femi retaining, and Wesley looking dejected.
Yeah, this match was wonderful. On the way back here, we're trying to think of what our favorite matches were. And after hearing this recap, this might honestly be it. Like, this match was fantastic. And starting with this match, the crowd was pretty much like 50-50 on all the competitors for the rest of the event. But just to see Oba come out there, and like, it's great to see it on TV, but when you see it live and you just have like the lights are on him, and like he's coming out of the smoke and the fog, and the crowd slowly starts doing his chant. And he's
like a wolf thing, a dog thing? Ooh,
yeah, just like some sort of just like.
He had a lot of people doing it.
It's like a warrior chant type of thing, but just like. I just expect big things from him, and Wesley is like the perfect opponent. Obviously going to work on the back. Like, to have this giant monster work on your back is just fantastic. There was a couple rough spots, but they were really quick on their feet to like recover from it, and I think the right person won, and it should be interesting, you know, what Wesley's next chapter is, as we'll get into. But it was a great way to start the main show proper.
Wes is such a good like guy to sell and flop around and stuff. Like, Oba's still very green, right? Like, he's only been on TV for, again, within the year, and he's been on this great run, but he's been protected in multi-man matches and TV and stuff. But having him go out one-on-one, this was a big test for him. And I think he definitely succeeded. But
his natural presence just makes him a star.
He's got an aura about him for sure. And especially when you're there in person, you can really just tell. It's like when you see Brock Lesnar in the ring.
The airport
just
test.
Different.
You know what it felt? It literally felt like you're at the Coliseum and a gladiator is coming out from like under the zone. Like, that's what it felt like.
Even his
when
gear.
He came out. Yeah.
He's still, I'd say kind of across all the matches tonight, there are a lot of quite ambitious spots considering how new to this some of the people are.
Yeah.
There were times where Oba got caught kind of, you know, being in the wrong position or maybe not quite know what's going next. Especially leading into the finish, which was a shame, but that comes from an experience, and you can't really teach like the aura and the strength this guy has. What? And I thought the good completely outweighed the sort of slip ups in this match.
No, it was awesome. I was really happy to see these guys live because again, like, we watch NXT, and this is not a touring company. It's not like you can see these talents until they're in the main roster when they're traveling. So to see Oba, we saw him at the last one in Philly. And that was kind of the show stealer for this one. And it's kind of the same thing. So I don't think it's a hot take, but Oba Femi will be a big deal in WWE.
Yeah.
Like, Braun Breaker versus Obafemi, WrestleMania 50 or something.
Hear me out for a second. John Cena versus Obafemi? Like, if they can do that within a year, that would be a pretty cool match.
Like, I'm wondering how fast they fast-tracked it. If Vince was still around, he'd be like, put him on the main roster right tomorrow, now. But, like, again, he's only been wrestling for a little while, and you could tell, he's still learning, but already he's got the aura.
And I think that's something we're seeing with, like, a Jade as well. Someone like this, you can fast track and just get them learning by doing the house shows and things like that. You can get away with Oberon TV doing very quick matches and try to test him more on the house shows, but I don't think he'll be in NXT too long.
But that was great. And Wes, I mean, he lost this so he can never go for that title, and he seemed pretty defeated after the fact, but the story going is he should probably be the NXT heavyweight champion, or at least chasing for it, which would be a pretty good story. So I don't think we've seen the end of him, but still holding out a little bit for the Rascals reunion.
We might get that. Yeah, we might get that.
We go next to our NXT Women's North American Championship. The champion, Kalani Jordan, taking on Sol Ruka. In their kind of promo package here, Kalani was using quotes from Michael Jordan and Sol Ruka using quotes from LeBron.
Basketball references. Yeah. Lots of it on NXT Heatwave tonight. Yeah, I mean, Kalani who mentioned Michael Jordan on Tuesday, and then they kind of clipped the same clip, and then now Sol Ruka is bringing LeBron up. Is that because she's like, yo, LeBron's better than Michael Jordan? Yeah. It's a little dig.
So this started off with that kind of Osprey Ricochet feeling each other out, but while we're feeling each other out, let's both do backflips and kip ups, and it works. The crowd really were into this, and very flippy to start, but pretty fun. There was a low cross body from Kalani where she seemed to hit the legs. And I was worried early on that Sol might have re-injured her knee, but they seemed to recover from it. Lani handstands out of an X Factor and delivers another cross body, which looked pretty smooth. And then a corkscrew plancher to the floor from Lani. Sol then hits this springboard 450 clothesline.
450 buckshot.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
Right? What? I like my jaw almost dropped. Like, wait, what did she just do? My brain can't even figure out how you did that, but crazy.
There's a poison rana from Kalani, followed by an Asai moonsault to the floor. Sol comes back with a running moonsault, like running up the turnbuckle to the floor. And this was kind of a great kind of count out tease here. They're back in the ring, and there's a counter into a kind of rough looking powerbomb. From Kalani here. Again, was a little concerned, was quite high on the shoulders, and the ref checked on her. There's then a 450 splash from Lani, but Sol gets the knees up. Sol goes to the Sol Snatcher, but this gets blocked and turned into a near fall. And then they're both fighting up the top, and Kalani Jordan delivers an avalanche poison rana, followed by the one-of-a-kind split-legged moonsault, and Kalani Jordan retains.
This is a great match. The video packages you mentioned, I think, was perfect to like introduce both of their like gymnastic backgrounds. You had like Kalani Jordan, who was more like professionally trained, and then Sol Ruka was like, I'm going to teach myself how to do this. And you saw her on the beach kind of learning. And that was a perfect introduction to the start of this match, when it was like literally they were just trying to show off. They're like pop up and show out, right? And it was just amazing. And like some of the moves, like that springboard 450 was fantastic. I think I went on my phone right away to try to find a GIF of it, just to like did I see what I think I just saw? And of course, the Poison Ranas, they had to support for Toronto. They must have seen all the gear in the
all
crowd.
All the Poison Ranas. Yeah.
So they did the Poison Ranas for us, absolutely.
Do you shout it out loud like I do?
I do. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I probably heard you. I'm like, is that? Yeah. Yeah, like, of course. I always do that every wrestling show for now on. Whenever somebody hits a Poison Rana, I'm like the one. I'm the Poison Rana guy.
Best move ever.
But the match was fantastic. There was a couple scary spots, as Davey had mentioned, but I think the right person won. Kalani's just getting started here. And Sol is, the one thing we didn't see a Sol Snatcher, right? We could have seen it somehow, but, it's okay. But other than that, it was great. First time seeing Sol Ruka live. So great experience. And I love this match.
Kalani has totally stepped up and deserves, like, this title shot. And I think me and you are on the page, like, maybe they're going to eventually turn her heel. Yeah. And I think when she does, I think she'll be a fantastic heel as well. But I am a big Sol fan, and I'm kind of like, what do they do with her right now? She could be someone who's another challenger for the title. But again, they're both still very new at this, and they're getting really good really early on. And I'm thinking these two could be something in WWE as well. But I love me some Sol Ruka.
Absolutely. I thought it was a really ambitious match. They planned a lot in this, and a lot of things that they knew were going to get this crowd going crazy. And look, like Sol was injured for the best part of a year. She started her career in June 2022.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kalani late 2022. Like both of these women have wrestled under 2 years, have under 70 matches on their belt, and they're doing this kind of match. Yeah, I thought there were a few scary moments because maybe a little overambitious at times, but I'd rather see this than headlock takeovers, you know, throughout the whole match. I thought they really killed it and really won this crowd over.
They're only going to get better. And they're
it's crazy. Yeah. Like, and this is what the PC's producing.
Yeah.
Like, I know there was that time when, oh, they're only recruiting, they're not recruiting wrestlers and stuff, but they're making wrestlers. And I was very impressed with these.
And two. I'm very glad to introduce a secondary women's title because you could have matches like this, you know, on the bigger scale. So, not everybody's going to be going after the world title, the NXT women's title. But it's good to have like a secondary title for them to kind of show off.
Like, another thing is, you know, a lot of people, this was the least packed it was in this arena, the three weekend nights. Right? But it's they closed off the one side like it was like AEW or something, but it still had like a lot of people and still sounded good inside. But I think majority of the people, some do watch NXT, but some are like buying the combos. They're just going because it was the cheapest show to go to for the wrestling.
Yeah.
And they're not, maybe don't follow as heavy as some others, but these two women, like, it was kind of quiet in the beginning and then they like earned the crowd's respect.
Yeah.
And I felt that for a lot of the stuff on the show where people were like, because there was a few people in a few sections over and they were like, oh, I could hear them like, who's this guy? Who's this guy? And then by the end of it, they're like, oh, this is like, so it was like that for a lot of the matches, including this one.
We heard a lot of that, like people later on explaining, oh, that is Seth Rollins trained this guy and stuff.
Yeah.
There was a kid sat next to me though, as the show was starting and the lights go down. He's pulling out his phone and he's going, Undertaker's coming out. Undertaker.
He gets a big return to NXT.
And it's like, oh boy, okay. Looking at WrestleTix, and this was as of 13 hours ago, 9,628 tickets distributed. So that was this morning. So probably pushing 10,000 by the time the show starts.
Yeah, like again, one of the sides that they always do for AEW and Move, when it's like not fully sold, they close a lot of set. The fact that they were like, hey, do you just want your own box here? And I'm like, yeah, all right. So like there was empty pockets, whereas last night for Money in the Bank, it was jammed. It was very, very full. So good for them.
We then had a Gallus promo, which was, if they're not hard enough to understand anyway, try in like arena speakers. But they were continuing their feud with Tyson and Tyreek. And they're saying that experience always wins over kind of these rookies and sets up a match for Tuesday. I don't think anyone in the arena, apart from me, maybe understood.
No one could understand Gallus. Yeah. They did air the clip of the WrestleMania doc that they put out this week.
Oh, yeah.
And the crowd started chanting, like, shut the F up to Rock and booing and everything. So that meme has gone viral very, very quickly.
Yeah. I've seen
the Rock saying, like, hey, XXX. So, yeah.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MCU Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. Tag us in a photo of yourself wearing our merch on social media, and I'll even send you a signed postcard while supplies last. That's chop-tees.com/post-wrestling.
We then see Ariana Grace and Carmen Petrovic celebrating backstage. Ava congratulates them on their big win. And Ariana just says, well, it's very lucky I was there because without me, it would have been catastrophic. She was the MVP of the match and she can't be in a tag team with Carmen anymore because Carmen's anger is holding her back. So Carmen's like, well, yeah, okay, let's prove it to each other. Let's have a match this Tuesday. Ava sets it up, and then Ariana turns to Ava and says, it's so wrong to put two tag team partners against each other. Sickening.
She's great. I love Ariana Grace. Every time she's on the screen, she continues to impress me, gets better and better. And she's like straight up funny. Like I saw her videos with her boyfriend Stax. They do some really cool videos together. And this I mean, obviously we knew where this was going to go. They're not going to stay together as a tag team, but it's a perfect way to set up their match for Tuesday.
Yeah. Pretty big moment. I mean, I'm not sure if everyone knows that she's Santino's daughter, but like, you know, Toronto area local, and that's what she is as well.
You can
and
tell by her comedic timing. I mean, she's spot
she's
on.
Funny.
Yeah.
She's very, very funny. So this match is on Tuesday too.
Yeah.
I don't think they're breaking them up though.
Oh.
I think we're getting them back together as the team. They were doing the thing with Gigi, but Gigi's injured. So I think they like the odd couple pairs. Only thing is, we don't have the tag titles in NXT anymore. Yeah. So it's what do you do when you put these two together?
I think they were calling themselves, before the match on social media, the Beauty and the Blade.
Oh, okay.
Because the sword and...
I mean, they can still defend the women's tag titles on all three brands, right?
That's
still
a thing,
so I guess...
Rarely do.
I know the tag champions are the Isle of Dawn and...
Yes.
Yeah, so they can come down for a spot with them.
We go to the NXT Tag Team Championship match. Axiom and Nathan Fraser taking on the Chase U team of Andre Chase and Duke Hudson. Duke delivers this huge over-the-head belly-to-belly suplex to Fraser. Axiom then just rolls Chase through and delivers almost like a low Superman punch to the mouth. Looked pretty good. Fraser leaps off the top and gets caught with a big side effect from Chase. Duke comes in and hits his Chase U bionic elbow. And then this fall-away slam to Fraser on top of Axiom delivers his slingshot German, turning Fraser inside out, and then goes to the razor's edge. And it's like the, you know, the Rey Mysterio Eddie spot where
Splash
it's countered
Mountain.
Into a Rana, repeated suicide dives from Axiom and Fraser. And then Fraser delivers this beautiful-looking 450 splash springboard style for a two count. Duke then does, we've seen him do this quite a bit recently, hand standing on the bottom rope to deliver a Rana, which got a big reaction, followed by a boss man slam, and then him and Axiom are fighting on the top rope, and Axiom delivers an avalanche Spanish fly. Fraser follows up with the Phoenix splash, but Andre Chase breaks up the pin by stepping off the back of Nathan Fraser into a Canadian destroyer on
in Canada.
In Canada.
Hurts more.
This match, like, obviously the move of the show was what Sol Ruka did with the springboard 450, but this move got, like, the crowd literally on their feet. Like, yeah. I don't know if people just didn't know about Chase U. Like, you see this guy, Andre Chase, this guy, he's dressed like a professor. Like,
it's,
you know,
a heat wave and dude's rocking a sweater. Bro.
He did have some sick Jordans on.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, we've been ragging on Andre Chase's gear forever. But it made this Canadian destroyer mean so much more. Axiom doing it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
But, like, look at you.
Dude in a cardigan.
The guy in the sweater with the beard and the side parting hitting it just worked. And this was probably the biggest reaction of the night so far, I'd say. Crowd were now really into this. Fraser inadvertently super kicks Axiom and Chase rolls him up for a near fall. He then does the Chase U stomps that I enjoyed joining in and then forgot how to spell Chase.
Me too.
He went, give me an E, and I went, you.
Yeah, I did that too. I was like, am I dyslexic?
Jasu.
I don't know if that's the right
thing. There's then Fraser delivers his Rollins-esque superplex, which he normally follows up with, like, the Falcon Arrow or the Bloody Sunday. But this gets turned into a Chasing the Dragon, the Brainbuster kick combo from Axiom and Fraser. Fraser then hits a Conhelo to the floor, taking out Duke, and Axiom hits Andre Chase with the Golden Ratio for the win.
Toronto is crushed that Chase U didn't win here. Again, another team that came in, they get a pretty decent reaction. They've been on character and on TV for, like, a while now, a few years Chase U has been going on, right? And I think some people knew who they were, but when this match got going, like, the crowd really got into it. And it reminded me of a PLE we watched, like, last year when they were the hottest act. And then we were like, oh, they got to win the titles. And they didn't go with them. And then they're like, later on, they realized they messed up. So they went back to them. And now they dropped the titles. And then here tonight, I think they messed up again. If this team is still this hot, I think they should be the main team. And they didn't do any funny business with Riley and Duke and Ridge and all that stuff. So I think they really won the crowd. They won a few of the buddies I was with here who weren't really too familiar. And it was that destroyer spot. It was like the Penta Lucha Bros, but
crazy.
It was a dude in a sweater. So it was like, wow. It's like Uncle Danny from Full House hitting the Canadian destroyer or something.
Now I want to see that.
Yeah, it looked like that.
I think there's something as well where you notice, as you said, at these shows, there are people that follow NXT and there's a bunch of people that just are there as the combo or picked up the cheaper ticket for the weekend. But they're, you know, quite a lot of the characters have quite easy things to get into, like the ooh for Obafemi.
Yeah.
People that know are doing it, and soon everyone's doing it because it's simple. And it's same with all the you spots with Chase U. And yeah, this match completely over-delivered.
Yeah,
I think we were a little down on it. We like the two teams, but we're like, this tag division's lacking. And they went out and killed it with this match.
Yeah, this may have been my favorite match on the show,
Yeah, this blew me away because the first two matches were amazing. So when this came on, I'm like, okay, it's a low spot. You might have some shenanigans. Ridge wasn't ringside. Maybe he's going to come out. Riley Osborne might do something. So I'm like, didn't expect anything of it. And then this match turned into a freaking amazing tag match. Like you said, it could be anybody's match of the night for sure. And like the crowd, if they didn't know who Chase you were, they probably had fans coming out of this match alone. But that Destroyer spot was just came out of nowhere, and it was fantastically timed, and it was so well executed.
My only gripe is they didn't win. I think they should have. And then the story with Ridge, like, actually, Ridge, we're kind of good without you. And then that kind of starts some sort of rift there. But I think they the placement of having Axiom and Frazier, their storyline is they're kind of been beefing, and then they tease the super kick to him and everything. Eventually, they will break up, but. Yeah. Chase U is the biggest tag, is hotter than the champions in this promotion.
I mean, you never know. Chase U's been around for a while. They might have plans to bring them up sometime soon, and I can see them as a tandem.
They've proved that it gets over, so like maybe give them a shot in the main roster, like on the main roster. So yeah, this one definitely surprised me. And like Duke Hudson, another like this guy was a poker dealer.
I keep forgetting how good of a wrestler Duke is. I always see him and I think he's this big goofy funny guy, but then he's like such wrestling and he really shows off, and I'm just like, he's a really good wrestler.
I was disappointed he wasn't part of that stand and deliver. You know, you had the heavyweight and I thought he would have fitted in that quite nicely. But yeah, I think there's definitely after this new interest in Chase U, and especially we've got a bit of dissension with Axiom and Frazier going on.
Like they lost, so do you think there is going to be some sort of potential split where like maybe Riley or Ridge break off from them? I just hope they don't at this point don't split Duke and Andre. I think that's the real like team. But if you have Riley, this Riley kid like break away and turn on them, I think that's the direction they go.
Yeah, when Riley came out, I thought he was wearing a Macho Man shirt at first. I'm like, what is he wearing? And I looked closely, and he pointed out Thea has the same one. It's like purple Chase U. And Raptors. I'm like, are they going to split? Oh, hey, Raptors, that makes perfect sense. But I'm like, are they going to split up and do Chase U purple?
I told you, the Chase U Wolfpack.
There we go.
Different universities, different sororities.
While we're on Raptors talk, last night, Carmelo Hayes had a pretty sick Raptors-inspired gear as well. So a lot of Toronto representation,
A lot of purple and everything for our team. Because they're like, we don't really want to support the Leafs. So let's, But there was some Leafs stuff too. But shout out the Austin 316 shirt they were selling this month. Very, very clever. I knew some people that were selling ripoffs of that for a while. So I knew a lot of Torontonians were buying that and rocking it, so.
We see Wesley backstage, who says Oba was the better man tonight and he needs time to figure out what happens next, and you'll find out on Tuesday. So Wesley addressing his future on Tuesday. Any theories?
Yeah, I mean, you had mentioned him possibly going after the world title. I wouldn't do that just yet, but I could definitely see, because Charlie Dempsey, I didn't watch TNA, but I know that Charlie Dempsey got involved on the TNA show with the Rascals. So you could definitely do something with the North Quarter Catch Crew.
And QCC.
And QCC versus the Rascals team up with Wesley and
Wentz TNA.
On TNA. They maybe kind of transition it through both shows.
They've announced they're sold the most tickets they've ever sold in like 10 years.
It's Montreal anniversary.
So maybe that's where you would do something big like that and have the Rascals reunion. So
yeah, and I think that's a good way to get Wes then into the NXT title picture. After that, you can have like Nash and Trey be like, hey, it's been great, but you've got bigger things
you need to do
NXT championship. So once you're done with this TNA like connection thing, and especially now Ego's the champ, I think Ego Wes is something we can definitely go to.
Absolutely. That's like post summer big pay-per-view for that's for sure.
We get announced the next NXT event is the Great American Bash. It's going to be one of the Tuesday specials on August the 6th. So not running SummerSlam weekend in Cleveland, but doing a special on TV after.
Yeah, I mean, after like how good this show was tonight, you're kind of like, oh, why wouldn't you kind of do it? I think you'd find like an audience, but I guess the SummerSlam weekend's already...
It is a little weird to do Great American Bash in August, like we just had Independence Day, July 4th. So,
yeah, that's also, I didn't even think of that. I mean, we just did a review of Great American Bash 1999. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. So, you know, maybe they got to bring back, what did they do on that? Well, that was a bad show.
That was a very bad show. Oh, that was the dogs.
Scott Steiner and trying to kill Sting with the pit bulls and stuff. All right, someone's going to do that.
So you're saying Braun Breaker's going to stick the dogs on Sammy?
If Braun ever recreates that, I'd lose it. Amazing.
We go next to the NXT Women's Championship. Roxanne Perez defending against Lola Vice. I thought both women got a good reaction here, but Lola especially on her entrance. The people seem to know who they were.
Yeah, I think the video package helped. They did a good job of editing her like emotional promo from Tuesday and mixing it and giving the story to the crowd who might not have been familiar so they could get involved into the story. And then, yeah, I thought this was pretty good, though.
Lola goes for an armbar early, but that gets blocked. Vice hits a rolling senton onto the floor and then gets up and does her dance.
I like the bit where she shakes her bum.
Yeah. She starts delivering her quick kicks and hits the running hip attack in the corner. There you go. That's when she shook it. Rox goes to do the kind of Bret Hart spot where she kicks off the turnbuckle to go for a pin, but Lola counts it and locks it in a chokehold, and they both fall to the outside of the ring. And this is where Lola Vice goes for her spinning back fist, which she's been finishing people with. But Rox moves and she takes out the turnbuckle, literally breaking the turnbuckle. The LED lights all go off. And now she's got her injured hand for the rest of the match, which Rox starts attacking. There's a Saito suplex in the ring from Perez. Rox then goes for a springboard moonsault, but Lola gets out the way and locks in a triangle. She then delivers one of her spinning back fists, which sends Roxanne out of the ring. Lola then counters a pop Rox with a bunch of spinning kicks, goes to the back fist again, but this gets blocked. And now Rox hits the pop Rox in the ring, but Lola kicks out. She goes to the outside, clears the announce table, and hits the pop Rox on the announce table, which got a big reaction from this crowd.
I mean, everyone always wants tables. Yeah. They always chant that every time. So when they do get the tables, it didn't break, though. I am the table.
But not yet.
It looks really sick.
They're both tiny. No, it should have been the AEW table. Yeah, that would have just breathed on that.
Lola would have just like danced on it, and it would have probably broke.
Yeah. Roxanne rolls Vice into the ring. 1, 2, but Vice kicks out. Roxanne attacks the arm again, locks in the cross face, kicks off the ropes to drag Lola into the middle of the ring, hits pop Rox again, rolls through, attempts it another time, but they kind of fall down. Well, this doesn't put her off. She picks her right back up and hits the pop Rox a third time to pick up the win, and Roxanne Perez is still NXT Women's Champion.
This match was fantastic. Star-making moment here for Lola Vice. The right person won, as obviously. But like, just like the pop Rox, the fact that she had to, like you said, take it three times. Just the fact that she needed that much to get defeated was just amazing. And like the story with her hitting her arm against the turnbuckle, the ring post and whatnot. But yeah, we had a chant in our section for Let's Go Lola, Let's Go Roxy that did not end. It literally was ongoing.
Yeah.
Like just when you thought it was done, two guys in the crowd kept it going like for the duration of like half of the match, I feel like. And that alone, I think, made the match more exciting for me. The fact that like everybody was being behind both of them.
It basically became a Family Guy joke.
Yes.
Because at first it was funny because never want to be that guy when the chants stop and you're the one person who still chants it. And these guys doubled down and were like, no, we're going to keep on going. And it was really annoying. And then it went so long where you're like, it's actually quite funny now. And then everyone started chanting again. And then they continue and it's like, okay, it's annoying now. All right, it's pretty funny.
But it got you into the match, I feel like. That, like, literally, like, the match was picking up as these chants kept going on. But, this match was fantastic. I can't wait to see what they do next with Lola. But the right person won here. I was expecting maybe somebody to come out as the next challenger, but we got no sort of tease of that as far as who Roxanne's next challenger is.
Yeah, no Julia. I know she was in the crowd at the last time,
yeah.
But so was Knuckles, and he didn't show up tonight either.
No, not yet.
Not allowed in Canada.
Obafemi versus Knuckles.
If it is Julia, though, like, you can have the story of this match play into it, like, because Julia's coming with an injured hand. And it's like the last girl, I injured her hand, and you see what did
when she kept she kept kicking out of the pop Rox and the fact that she injured her hand. I thought that was gonna be the finish, like a submission finish. Yeah. Like, but I guess they don't want Lola Vice to be submitted. That's kind of defeats her character a little bit.
Yeah, I think it would be cool if we got to that match. I still think the final boss, Meiko Satomura. But as we know from watching her the DDT train match with Minoru Suzuki, that she's busy singing karaoke.
Yeah.
In that match, that's still my match of the weekend, even though it was last weekend. But that match, holy shit! But I think it would be like a good full circle story to have Roxanne versus Meiko Satomura one more time.
And she walks out,
and you know, like she beats her, and gets over like her fear. But as far as this match, like Roxanne has been awesome. This one, this match was awesome. The match last month with Jordynne Grace was awesome. Like, she's becoming.
She's so comfortable as a heel now. Yeah. And when she first came in, I really couldn't picture her in this character, but she's very confident.
She's making a good case to be like Women's Wrestler of the Year. She's got to be up there.
There's two matches already from this year that are like, I mean, the Jordynne Grace one was awesome. But Lola is so good. Like Lola,
again, it go to the Kalani and Sol Ruka talk. Like she's new to this. Yeah. But she's also getting that connection with the audience. Like she's working as a babyface and she's hanging there with Roxanne Perez. I don't think it is her time, but I think they can, you know, they gave her the ring to give the standing ovation spot at the end. And she's only going to have more fans after this. And when she finally wins the title, it will be a big deal.
Yeah. It's too early for her here, but this was like you said, like a star making moment, even in a loss, because now we're like, oh, you just hung with the best women's wrestler and Roxanne is no slouch. And if you could do that, then like, you know, there's definitely a future, but I think she's got everything. She's got the look, she's got the wrestling, she's got some cool moves. Everything is there. And she dances.
And she rocks the Poison Rana colors. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should buy her shirt and it goes nice with this hat right here.
Yeah, I will say, I don't want to just like crap all over the merch from tonight, because like some of the NXT shirts weren't the greatest, but like I wish they just sold the Miami Vice Lola Vice t-shirt, because instead it's like one they were selling with like her face on it and something. Mm. It wasn't like my most favorite shirt, but I was like, oh, I want to support, but it wasn't the shirt I liked. But she is someone I think will be a big star in WWE as well. But this was definitely, like, I thought the last pay-per-view, again, going back to the last one, she was great in the underground match.
Yep.
Two underground matches. So I think they have some big plans for her.
Send her to Bloodsport.
Man, that'd be awesome. Right? The Brooklyn one, too, with the Creed brothers. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Book it. She is one of my favorite characters to watch, for sure.
Cora Jade quote tweeted the, like, and still graphic and said, doctors said 6 to 9 months recovery. That was in January.
Oh, so recovery coming up.
Yeah. So I think in this run, you can definitely do a Cora feud, a Julia feud, and a Mako feud before it's time to, like, move it on someone
else. Cora comes back as a babyface?
I think so, yeah.
And that would be weird. Yeah. It sounded
she wasn't a good heel. I think she'd work better as a babyface.
Yeah, maybe. Especially with Roxanne. It does have, like, you know, their gimmick is their CM Punk kids.
CM Punk. Yeah. Well, if Cora tweaks and becomes like AJ Lee 2.0, I guess that can kind of work. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see about that. And if she's, you know, she's such a big fan of CM Punk, she got injured and came back and got injured really quickly. Mm. So I hope so just like her idol, but I hope she's doing okay, because that would be a cool story with them being like friends and everything.
It feels there's unfinished business there from storytelling, and that's an easy one you can go to.
Yeah, in interviews, it sounded like they were being booked to be like the evil heels, like power twins kind of thing, right. And then she got injured, so they kind of scrapped that. So I think that would be a cool story as well.
Bring AJ Lee maybe to do commentary, and actually you built a Roxanne AJ match.
Yeah, open the forbidden door to WOW.
We see Lexus King, who is talking about Independence Day and how he likes to celebrate America and real American music, like rock and roll and
Metallica,
and calls out he wants to celebrate American heritage, and therefore he's going to challenge Tony D'Angelo for the Heritage Cup.
Wow. Okay, so if you're following, Lexus King started a feud with Eddie Thorpe over music genres.
Yeah,
love it. And also he's celebrating 4th of July, sending in a video because he's not actually in Canada. I think he could have got a few digs in there, but decided not to. And then it cuts to Tony D's video.
So Tony D'Angelo is now in his herb garden, smelling
I want one of those.
Smelling some basil. I've started growing one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I've got a basil plant going on.
Basil.
Basil for you North Americans.
Twins basil.
And he says, look, I was just, you know, minding my herbs, and
I do that
when I got sent a video by my consigliere about a video from Lexus King talking about taking away the Italian Heritage Cup, which he started calling it. And if you think it's going to be a walk in the park, well, I'll solve it. He agrees to the match and he says he's going to slap that fake ass beard off his face and go back to his garden and his basil plants.
I thought that was pretty funny. I'm going to slap his beard off his face.
I definitely heard in the arena during this bit, people who've never seen or heard of Tony D before, who were like popping for this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're going, Consigliere, like, who is this guy?
Who is this guy? What's going on?
But yeah, cutting promos in a, like a,
yo,
flower.
That's
like
a vibe. This is fantastic. Yeah.
I've been there before, like in the garden with a cup of, you know, espresso, and then you're
true
just
Italian.
Like, yeah, you got the tank top on. This is, I couldn't believe it. I was like, is he in a garden right now? I was like, what is, I want to see more of this now.
Yeah, honestly, like, how long has he been on TV now since 2.0? So a few years. He's done so many over the top cheesy things in like the restaurant when like this was way better, way better like place for him to cut promos and stuff like that. Next, he's in like a wine vineyard or something.
He needs to get like a like an orange with a knife and just start cutting through it. That's like what he needs to do. Yeah,
you got the feeling with this as well. It's like it's just him on his day off, and WWE have sent the cameraman to him because like, I don't know if you've heard about this, but he's like, oh, okay, well I'm in the garden right now. Just follow me. Yeah.
I hope that it's his real garden, but I don't know about that.
So on Tuesday, we have Wesley addressing his future. The OC versus OTM. We have Tyreek and Tyson versus Gallus. And Carmen Petrovic versus Ariana Grace. Yeah. And we then go to the NXT Championship Fatal 4-Way. Trick Williams defending against Javon Evans, Sean Spears, and Ethan Page. And if you're counting things that Sean Spears had thrown at a wall to see if it sticks, this time was a mask.
Yeah, I couldn't tell what this was.
Casey Jones?
Is that what he was? Jason Voorhees? I couldn't tell what he was doing.
Okay, I know I've been down on Sean Spears for being in the main event of this, but he could have come. They could have done one thing that maybe would have at least got like some big reaction. Is come out to the Ty Dillinger theme song, which is a banger, sleeper hit.
The crowd was definitely ready for it.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're doing the Johnny
Ten. And
I don't really quite know what this guy's gimmick is. They put him in this match because it's like, hey, he's from Toronto. People know him here. He's been our local boy for many, many years in the wrestling scene here. So people do love him. Don't get me wrong. And the same with Ethan Page. So they're like well traveled, but always come back and treat, you know, Ontario wrestling scene, and they're stars here. So I get it, but at the same time, like, the chairman's in the main event. So they really had a tough job of not only putting on a good match, but changing my mind on having Sean Spears in the main event.
Oh, yeah.
Ego, Sino, you caught what he was wearing, but what was it? USA resident?
Yeah, resident of the United States, like in a whole American base.
He swerved us. So earlier today, he posted a video wearing a Canadian tuxedo, which is denim on denim. And then he said, but just wait till you see my gear tonight. Oh, boy, Canada, you're going to love it. And then he walks into the arena. The We the North flag is there. He looks at it, glances. That got a lot of people thinking and talking about Josh Alexander.
Josh Alexander was sat behind us on yesterday's show.
Yeah.
So we were thinking like, oh, okay, they're a nice little tease there.
The North walking weapon. But then Ethan Page shows up, a USA resident, like, jacket. It was quite a nice jacket, actually. But USA.
Good swerve.
To get people to boo him here in Canada. But very nice. But then, like, Javon Evans, his first ever PLE, first main event, and he is 20 years old. His theme is kind of a banger, actually. Yeah.
I texted you right away. Like, I like this song.
I was dancing to it in my box. I was like, yo, this theme is actually pretty good. But then Trick Williams makes his entrance, the NXT champion. And I think he got the loudest reaction for his entrance. And I know that when we've gone to see him last time, some of us are doing, whoop, that Trick. And then I'm doing the Booker ad-libs.
It's catching on.
So many people were doing that, too. And people were looking at each other and doing it. So, it's really caught on. It's loud.
And as a return favorite, Trick Williams with his nice little Harlem Heat Wave-inspired
gear.
Yeah,
really fire gear. Yeah. No pun intended. Yeah. But, that was awesome. So, great entrance for the champ.
So the match starts and Ego immediately bells to the outside to let the others fight. But Javon isn't having it and just does this spectacular dive to the outside to start things off. Spears and Ego in the ring shake hands. They're like, all right, okay, the two Canadian boys, let's go at it. And then they both poke each other in the eyes at the same time, which is pretty funny.
Is that what you Canadians do to each other? You just start poking each other in the eyes?
Yeah, all the time.
See, and I just want to poke it. Javon and Trick then take them out, and they do their kind of special handshake before they start fighting. Javon gets all sorts of bouncy. Spears then introduces a chair into the match, a white chair. A
nice white chair. Yeah.
Trick just stops him by he's delivering his like Booker T-esque leg lariats all round. And then there's a doomsday device where Ego comes off the top rope with a back elbow to Javon, knocking him off the shoulders. Spears then hits everyone with the steel chair, and Javon goes for a springboard and gets hit with the chair shot to the back. There's this chair is now set up in the corner, and Spears delivers the C4 onto the chair. They're also handing out free C4 energy outside the arena before the show
starts.
That's
probably why I'm so wired right now.
Right before, oh yeah, right before you're going in, and then they're like, hey, you're not allowed to take that in. You've got to drink that
they're
up.
They're all chugging
so
down.
Chugging these pints of C4 energy and just.
Very smart. That's a crowd. Yeah. I tried the Hawaiian punch flavor. I never saw that in the States. The other ones I saw before, like popsicle grape and the frozen pop one, but they had Hawaiian punch flavored one, which has. It was pretty good.
They now all start trading super kicks. There's a running blockbuster from Trick to Paige, and everyone's down on the mat, allowing the crowd to kind of really get into it and stand up here. Trick then clears the announce table. He's fighting with Ego, and Ego's like teasing a razor's edge when Javon leaps over the turnbuckle with a con Hilo, which takes Trick out through the barricade. Now, Braden, I know you're sick of the barricade spot, but this was something quite different.
This was taking it to a whole other level. Yeah, this was crazy. It's not often that WWE let people do that spot. Think that spot was popular in the indies like years where you're jumping over this. You're not your typical suicide dive or whatever. You're doing it over the whole turnbuckle to the outside.
Wes would do this.
Yeah, Wes, I think like Kushida used to do it a lot. Cedric Alexander and like having Javon do that here, but crashing. Was it on Page and Trick or somewhere?
It was on Trick. Page just got out the way.
Like through the barricade, it looked crazy. And that was one of the highlights for sure.
Spears then picks up Javon and hits an avalanche C4 off the top. When Page throws Spears out the ring to try and steal the pin. And then Javon does this crazy leap to the top rope, delivering a Spanish fly to Page. One of the best Spanish flies that they got height on this thing. Both guys, like Javon is a springy, but he's tall as well. And Paige is a big boy. So this looked great. He then hits the springboard cutter when Trick breaks up the pin. Spears then teases a superplex to the outside through the announce table. But this gets countered by Evans with an avalanche cutter into the ring.
Crazy.
Followed by a corkscrew senton. Trick then, Javon goes for another springboard, but Trick knocks him off the top rope. And Javon Evans' face goes through this announce table.
This was crazy.
I mean, I get now why he says that boy is bouncy, because this boy got sent flying through this. This was a nutso spot as well. Like, this had the crowd going nuts. And I was like, he's dead. He's gone from this spot.
Trick had great facials here as well, because it's his friend. And he's like, oh, shit, what did I do?
And then he was like,
I got a whole cup, got to get back into it.
Champ, baby.
He goes for his scissors kick to Spears, but gets dropped into a sharpshooter in Canada.
Yes.
But this time, Paige breaks it up, hits the razor's edge to Trick. 1, 2, and Evans grabs Trick's foot, puts it on the ropes to break up the fall. And then Trick just fires up and is delivering these Trick knees all round.
Trick shots.
Yeah. Hits one to Spears, hits one to Paige. Hits one to Javon, hits one to Paige, and Paige falls on top of Javon Evans. Spears pulls Trick out of the ring, and the referee counts 1, 2, 3, and an unconscious all ego, Ethan Page wins the NXT Championship.
What a finish.
This is a great match, great finish. Just like, I kept looking up at the screen just to see the facial reaction, because Ethan Page is amazing, but the final shot of Trick Williams being pulled, it was like a horror movie.
Yeah.
He's like crawling, trying to break up the pin.
Sean, Randy,
Cena, the super
Cena
kick.
Edge? Yeah.
The super kick, where Cena gets kicked and falls on him and he gets the pin. And they're like, oh, but this Sean stopping him was like crushed. Trick. His acting was like so like, no!
But this match was fantastic. Javon is what, 20 years old? He was born in 2004. After WCW and ECW, like, he's the same age as TNA.
Bro.
It's scary. And like you said, he's tall. I didn't realize how tall he was until he's standing in front of Trick.
Yeah.
And the best part about Javon is whenever you see him about to get ready, you don't know what he's going to do. Like, every single time he does something new to impress me. And this match was fantastic. And when they first made it a four-way, I'm like, okay, this is a good way to get the title off of Trick without him looking weak. And this is exactly what happened. I don't think the right person won out of these four. It's not the time yet for Javon, and I don't think Sean Spears should be holding that title. It was a great finish, great match overall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, eat my words about it being a four-way with these guys, because, you know, love Trick, but since Ilya, his singles matches have been a little underwhelming. Yeah. You know, I think the standard deliver match with Carmelo Hayes didn't really reach the heights it should have. And the Ethan Page singles match was really disappointing. He's still not there yet in ring, and he does need more time in NXT. He's great. He's over. People love him. He's got charisma. Some of the stuff he does looks really good, but maybe when it's against some of these guys in singles, it's not clicking. Javon, you've said he's so young. He's 20. But like him being in this match, he will just fly out of nowhere hitting these crazy moves. And then just having more bodies in it means there's no stopping in the match at all times. And I thought Spears and Paige held it all together really nicely too. I thought this was a hell of a main event.
Like Sean Spears being in the main event. Yeah, I groaned at it for sure. But it reminds me of like that SummerSlam four-way. Like they've mastered the like multi-man matches because it's like everyone has a key part in it. Like Sean Spears being the catalyst to Trick losing here because he pulled his leg and stopped him, right?
So, and he brought the chair element to the match.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, so there was some awesome stuff in this. And, you know, Ethan Page, I think the last pay-per-view with him coming in and losing and kind of not really doing much with it, I thought it felt flat. And this is, like, what they needed to do when he came in right off the top, right?
And like, he is well-loved. Like, I went on Twitter right after, and all these wrestlers from, like, GCW, from TNA, from AEW were, like, retweeting him winning.
Everyone's retweeting.
Yeah. He'll wear this title well.
Better wear it through Hamilton. CHCH going to celebrate this week. Hamilton, stand up for Ethan Page.
But it protects Trick as well in doing so.
So I
liked the kind of post-match where he's waking up, realizing, oh, I've
smiling,
won. And then just laughing.
He walked right through Gorilla. There's a video that NXT posted, and Sean is there, and he shakes his hand and hugs him and everything. And then he's kind of like, wow, I can't believe it. It looked like he was very emotional winning this. He is someone I have watched, I think, the first ever indie wrestling show I went to, and he was like, you know, opening the show. He's been on all of these shows all through the States. He's worked so hard, and he's never been a world champion on a stage this big. So very, very proud of the Canadian boy, Ethan Page. Proud of Trick. I thought Trick looked the best he's looked. You said he had some matches in the past few times where they weren't that great, and I thought having the different elements with multi-man helped that. Even Sean Spears had his stuff with that and moments why he was here. But Javon Evans is my guy now. Like him going forward, he's so new to NXT, and he's already like every match he's been in has been better and better and better and so impressive. And the fact, like you said, 20 years old. Can you imagine this guy in 5 years? He reminds me of Ospreay. He looks like he's 20. He hasn't fully filled in yet, right? But he will get there. And boy, he's only going to get better. And I think back to this past Tuesday on NXT, he was also good on the mic. He's got catchphrases. He's got like the... He's got it. So I see big things. And this guy stole the show for me. And I don't know how this guy does the Cody Cutter better than Cody. He does like the triple jump on it. And he goes so high up there in the air.
NXT moving to CW, like you're going to want that younger demographic. And I think Javon is perfect. Like, I'm not saying he should be world champion, but he should be one of the faces there for sure.
I don't know what he means when he says that boy is bouncy, but that boy is bouncy.
He's bouncy.
The young OG, he is instantly rising to one of my favorites to watch. So everyone in this match had their spot, and this really over-delivered for me. And that's how I'd say about this whole show. It really over-delivered.
I think it's interesting where they tried to get this new identity when they started 2.0, and it was just, like, so forced. And it felt like, you know, it felt like an old dude trying to figure out what the young people like. And over the last year or so, just letting these characters naturally, like, their personalities naturally come through. It's getting that like fresh, authentic, young vibe in WWE. It feels like a different show from Raw and SmackDown. And you saying CW, which I imagine are going to put quite a lot behind NXT with it being their one WWE show they have, especially with Raw moving to Netflix. They're going to put a lot behind this. And I think your Trick Williams, your Javon Evans, they're the kind of guys you really want to highlight. And I just thought this show was so much fun.
Do we see Trick move up? Do you think he stays? He could beef with Sean Spears now. He could go for a rematch with Paige.
Something about Carmelo's call-up, something feels missing. And I feel like you might have to put him back with Trick some way or another.
I think they should be put back together eventually. I think they work really well. And I know Carmelo got the big, you know, money in the bank moment, but I still think that's something that they could go back to eventually. Like, he's got it too. Like, he's got that it factor of whatever it is, he's got it.
I think you could do a cycle of, you know, do the Paige rematch, do the Shawn Spears match as well. I think there's a few more matches he can have before going up. And I think in-ring wise, I'd like him to do more NXT. Yeah. But you are right. It's Melo kind of needs him as well. And maybe just pull the trigger.
I think going forward, like Ethan Page, whether he puts the title on the line against Evans and a one-on-one on like Great American Bash or a rematch with Trick or something. But eventually Ethan Page versus Wes, I think, is down the line. But after tonight, Javon Evans should be gunning for youngest champion.
Well, something that we didn't see, and I found out right after on Twitter, his next challenger might have been revealed because there was a little like post-credit scene.
Yes.
So there was a little jump scare at the end of after Ethan Page was celebrating.
If you say his name, he will appear.
Yeah. So Joe Henry had a nice little cameo. It was like the start of his video just kind of popped up at the end of the show.
Face. So
smiley face.
The crowd were chanting a lot for him during the show.
Yeah, there was a lot of signs
there
as well.
There was people with his face on the sign. Everything. Everybody was loving that guy. So I think we're getting more of Joe Henry in NXT very, very soon. So.
Yep.
What was your match of the night?
Ooh, it's tough. After discussing it, I might have to go with the opener, Obafemi and Wesley. Wow. Really good. Yeah,
I really love that match. I really like the main event as well. But I think I'll go with the tag just because I had zero interest in it, and then it really like got me. So
this felt like the closest to a takeover we've had in a long time because you can argue it. You know, Stand and Deliver, I think everyone just came out and was like, oh, the three-way North American match. It was kind of unanimous that was the match.
Yeah.
Here, I mean, I might lean the NXT title match, but that tag match as well was really fun. I did throw up a poll up, and majority voted for the NXT championship, with the tag championship being in second, and the women's North American title match being third.
I don't think any of these five choices would be wrong. Like, any of these could be good. Like match of the night, I think.
It's still early days, but cage match have this event at 9.6.
Wow, that's a lot higher than what Money in the Bank had.
That will go down, but as initial reaction, it's pretty good.
So again, it's weird. It's giving me like this deja vu when I would go to the WWE pay-per-view and be like, that was good. It had the WWE stars on it, but the NXT had the better wrestling. That's how it felt. Like, I think Sean Cook, Triple H this weekend.
Yeah.
He's like, you had Punk and Cena on your show, but my wrestling was better.
The only negative I'll say that Sean did this weekend was not let our boy Brooks Jensen into the country. What happened?
So Tuesday night, Shawn Michaels says he's giving Brooks Jensen a second chance. I hope Brooks Jensen beats the ever-living piss out of Shawn Michaels on Tuesday.
It could really help Brock get into the next level. Like,
that'd
I think
be amazing.
He has to.
Sweet chin music to Shawn Michaels is what I want.
Yeah, I like that.
I want that to happen. We love our Brooks Jensen, our B2, B3. Ben Buchanan,
B3,
Brooks Jensen. We hope, and they aired the video in the crowd, and I saw a lot of people being like, "Oh, what's going on with this?" Like, Shawn Michaels is. I kind of mentioned on the show last week. Shawn hasn't been used as an on-screen character quite often, other than people putting him in memes with the chef hat. But so to have a segment with him and Brooks, I think is going to be really interesting. So that's something to look forward going forward as well. So Brooks was missed in Toronto.
How did you feel about NXT being after the main show, because normally I know we've had, just because of scheduling, the daytime ones, which kind of suck, but typically it always used to be the night before.
As long as it's not at noon,
like
WrestleMania weekend, I was just done when it was that, so I was way more alive. This both shows started at 7 p.m. Eastern time, which usually these are at 8, so this was a bit different, a bit earlier, and we got out early, so I liked it.
Shall we go to some feedback?
Yeah, yes, let's do it. That's what we talked about. We gave some thoughts on Heat Wave. We have a Facebook page, Poison Rana. There's a group you can find and join that, and we post feedback threads every time there's a show, and we read your comments here. Davey, do you want to go with the first one?
Let's go. Fire Frank, who says, best NXT show in a long time. Mad, I'm sad I missed that one. Everything was cooking. Stunning, but great ending to that nutty main event. Evans is going to be a star. He's just so absurdly good at that young age. Trick is already a megastar. He got that top reaction, and he looked great here. Congrats to Paige on the big title win in his homeland. Oba is a beast and continues to get better every time. So and Lani showed out. Both are going to be real big stars. The tag match went hard. Lola had a big star night making. And Roxanne, as always, shows she's one of the best going. All in all, a great paced, all action show. Gives me vibes of the TakeOver era with a great hot crowd to boot. NXT had a lot of eyes on them tonight, and they delivered.
Thank you, Frank. We go to Andrew McDonald from Cape Breton. He writes in, so I check out the weekly TV, but I don't think it has been that good recently. The women's division is presented as high school students in the backstage segments, and the matches haven't been too inspiring. So it was very surprising to see that tonight's show outdid Money in the Bank. I'm one of those people who enjoys AEW's 15-match shows. I'm paying decent money for this. So when I watch, I strap in and I know I'm going to be there for an event. With WWE pay-per-views, I hate how there's a lot of dead time, whether they extended video packages or Randy Orton walking for 15 minutes. 5-match shows shouldn't be that long. Tonight was much better paced and reminded me of the takeovers of old. One thing NXT gets right is mid-card titles. In the 80s and 90s, the IC champ either leveled up, became champion, or left the company. The idea of going from world champion back to IC didn't happen, as that would be career regression. I like how they have younger, up-and-coming talent like Kalani and Oba as the NA champions. Other than that, Trick really stepped up tonight after some weak outings. I see him getting the title back soon enough, but it's good to see the Hamilton boy do well. Oh, so thank you, Andrew. Andrew says, hey, why don't you give it back to Trick to keep his NXT run? Yeah. That's something you could do too.
We go to Magan, who says, something must have been in the water in Toronto. NXT, for a lack of a better term, cooked. Heatwave was a case study of under-promise but over-deliver. That tag title match ruled. Sol Kalani was dope. Lola stepped up. Oba Wes was a David versus Goliath epic. And the four-way was a home run with a finish that echoed Backlash 07, but with a shock title change, as NXT is all ego. Javon Evans belonged in the main event, and Trick Williams is on the chase again. You all saw that stinger at the end, right? We believe.
We go to Manny from Pacoima. What a show. Leaps and bounds ahead of Money in the Bank. Every match delivered and over-delivered. Feminism prevails once again, as Oba Femi had his best match tonight. I see what you did there. Very good. He continues, Sol and Kalani had a high-flying spectacle. Their rivalry will definitely carry WWE in the future. The tag title match was the match of the night. Lola and Roxanne was solid, and I'm interested to see where Lola goes from here. The main event was all about the young OG. He made a name for himself, and the finish was very creative. Only nitpick is Sean shouldn't have been upset after the match, considering he stopped Trick from breaking up the pin. I did notice that. Yeah, Sean Spears afterwards was like his hands on his head, like, oh no, I lost. And it's like, well, you
could be more of like realization, like, I don't know what I just did.
I am not the champion, I guess. He continues, don't know if you guys saw at the venue, but there was a post-credit scene that showed Joe Hendry after the show, and the Great American Bash will be on the Sci-Fi Channel. Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. Okay. That's interesting.
What is this, ECW 2006?
Yeah, they're going to bring back some names from the past. But yeah, I wonder if that's a match that you could headline that with, Joe Hendry versus Ethan Page at Great American Bash.
Yeah.
Two Canadians. Well, not Canadians.
neither being American.
Yeah.
Thank you, Manny, for writing in there. Thank you, everyone, for writing in there. And thank you, everyone out there, for listening to us and checking us out here. We appreciate you hanging out, whether you're watching on the Post Wrestling YouTube or on the Post Wrestling podcast feed, wherever it may be. We do this every Tuesday night. Davey and I do Up Next, where we talk about NXT. We go live 10:15 p.m. Eastern time, right after NXT goes off the air. So catch us here on the Post feed. But we do so many more podcasts. Search Poison Rana, one word, and into your podcast app, and check out all the other shows that we do. Davey and I do a weekly news show where we talk about everything going on, AEW Dynamite and WWE and news and rumors and all sorts of stuff. But we have Sino.
Yeah, Shot in the Dark every Thursday on the Poison Rana podcast feed. If you want to know what's going on with NXT and the TNA land, I'll fill you in with that as well. I talk about NWA. I talk about Women of Wrestling. I talk about AEW Rampage and a bunch of other shows. But yeah, 15 minutes or less. Get a nice little recap on a weekly basis on all the other stuff happening in the wrestling world.
Yeah, Sino will fill you in on everything that you may or may not watch in 15 minutes or less every week on the Poison Rana feed. Plus, we got all these other bonus shows. We got Eagles Don't Hunt Flies. Yep. We just had a Martin 12-hour charity stream. Yes. So follow Poison Rana.
I've been trying to upload that one. It's a really big
12 hours. Pretty big.
But yeah, I think over the next week, we'll hopefully be releasing some of the audio from that show.
Yes. And then, of course, we have a patreon.com/PoisonRana. $5 to become a friend, and you get access to hundreds of different podcasts. We've done retro wrestling reviews, such as our last Nitro review that's coming out this week, our Great American Bash 99 review, as we mentioned. Shark Week is coming up, so you know we're going to celebrate that with Sharktopus. And plus, we do a show called What's Next, where we go back in time and look through NXT and review from the beginning. And right now we are in 2014, right after the original Arrival pay-per-view that they aired. So that's been fun. If you're an NXT fan, What's Next is definitely a podcast for you. But we do movie reviews and all sorts of fun stuff. And we'd like you to check it out and let us know what you think.
Hell yeah.
And like we said, the socials. Zeno, it was great having you here in Toronto, as always.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me here.
You're always, always welcome. And everyone out there, appreciate all the love. And again, everyone who showed up at Wide Open, the love is real. And we'll see you down the road soon.
We will.
Yeah.
And you guys have half an hour, if you're watching us live, before the Chop-T's summer sale ends. It ends at midnight Eastern time. So make sure you get your What Up Dope baseball jersey and your fine Poison Rana merch and all the other fine merchandise we have up on there.
Excellent. Excellent. And you can follow at Poison Rana Pod, X and Instagram. And I myself, Brayden Harrington, you can find me at The Bray D.
You can find me at Davey Portman.
You can find me at Ceno Evil.
There you go. Thank you. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And that was one hell of a heat wave.
Ahoy!
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.